program. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Sherry Preston. On this election day, millions of Americans are headed to the polls in what's considered one of the closest races in recent memory. Lines very long across Georgia last year. ABC's Faith Abube in Fulton County there says they're taking about 36 seconds, however, only to check people in at polling places. It's going very fast. Part of the reason, people have already voted.
There was a historic, a record number of people who voted during early voting, more than 4 million people. And so we're not expecting that many people today. Hopefully, there are people who come out and vote if there are registered voters. I know the Secretary of State's office is expecting maybe on the low end, maybe 800,000 people come out today.
Walking into the booth and casting his ballot in Cincinnati, Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance.
You never know until you know, but I feel good about this race. I felt good about my own race a couple of years ago when I voted in this exact same spot. Hopefully, it goes as well for President Trump and me as it went for me a couple of years.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Today, voters across the country will elect a new president. Voters will also be electing representatives to Congress and U.S. senators. In our listening area, voters will be choosing between incumbent Derek Van Orden or his challenger Rebecca Cook for Congress, and Senator Tammy Baldwin is being challenged by Eric Hovde. Around the state, there are a number of state Senate and Assembly races with the new legislative maps. As a result, voters in Richland County will be choosing a new state senator. Senator Joan Balwig was drawn into the district and faces a challenge from Sarah Kieski. In the Assembly, Richland County will now be represented by one representative. Current Representative Tony Kurtz, who has represented the city of Richland Center, is being challenged by Julia Henley. Voters will also be electing local county positions, such as county clerk, register of deeds, and county treasurer. There was one race in Richland County, and that is for register of deeds between Michelle Brown and Deb McCoy. Also on today's ballot, voters in 121 school districts will be asked yes or no on referendum questions. Districts are seeking a total of over $4.2 billion from local taxpayers for operations and facility projects. Locally, the Ithaca School District is asking voters to approve an operational referendum in the amount of $1.3 million each year for its duration of 4 years. As its name implies, revenue received by an operational referendum is used to meet the cost associated with operating the district, which may include attract and retain qualified teachers, Chromebooks for one-to-one instruction, access points to provide a reliable internet, connection school-wide, additional safety operations, and a school bus with the intention of returning to a biannual purchase rotation to minimize repair costs. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks losing streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost in the final minute to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 116-114. Giannis out with a groin injury. The Bucks have now lost 6 games in a row. After the loss, Doc Rivers asked, "How do you keep the players positive when you're 1-6?
I think the team's very positive. I think they're upbeat. No one wants to lose. We got some tough games coming up. We win 3 or 4 in a row, and then if you're 5-6, you have an 80% chance to make the playoffs.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers won their home opener over Holy Cross, 85-61. They'll host Montana State Thursday. NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur on what he and his coaching staff will be doing during the team's bye week.
A lot of times it gets a little overblown. I mean, we're always on top of the self-scout and what we got to do and what people are seeing. We'll get a good jump start just with today, the ability to watch tape really from anywhere. So I'm going to let the staff get out of here and just do everything on their own.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A dreary and soggy day today, with scattered showers and even a thunderstorm possible this afternoon. With the potential to become severe, we could see some gusty winds and a brief spin-up. Otherwise, today, expect patchy fog, highs in the mid-60s, and breezy winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
With hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely, I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for Election Day coverage. Wisconsin Decides 2024. We'll have all the news of Election Day as it unfolds from our election headquarters. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jay Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, coming to you live from our Civic Media World headquarters here in Madison, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We have all kinds of special programming coming up for you tonight, starting at 6 o'clock. Pete Schwabba and I will be handling the transition until Pat Kreitlow and Todd Albaugh take over at 8 p.m. Dan Schaefer is here. He is the author, of course, of the Recombobulation Era and also Civic Media's political editor. And you are going to be all over the place tonight, too, Dan Schaefer. You're going to be very busy.
That's right. I'll be joining you in Madison in just a few hours here. Very excited for our special election night coverage at Civic Media. It's going to be a great time.
It really is. We have wonderful guests set up, and we have reporters who are going to be stationed all across the state as the results come in. Again, Milwaukee likely is going to be very early in the morning going back to, no, we can't start counting the ballots early. Thank you, Devin Lemahue. I have his phone number, by the way, if anyone wants to call him and thank him.
Oh, throw that in the stream here so people can find that one.
Well, yeah. when
yeah, it's such a bummer that change was not made in time for this election. The Wisconsin State Legislature had every opportunity to make this change since 2000.
Yes.
Nobody likes the way that this process goes with having to report these results all at once late into the night. But this is the process that the Republican-controlled state Senate has allowed for. Even Robin Vote and the Republican Assembly passed something to change the process, but the Senate Republicans, not so much.
Yeah.
It's not great. But hey, here we are. We all know this now, right? Where nobody's going to be surprised, hopefully, that Milwaukee will be reporting its results late into the night, right? There's going to be nobody who brings up any sort of nefarious nonsense.
No.
With this. Everybody gets it now.
Zero shenanigans.
Things are very understood. No shenanigans coming at all, right?
Well, and that's why I want everyone to have Devin's number handy when they start screeching about ballot dumps and this is illegal and cheating. No, you can thank the Senate Republicans in Wisconsin, and Devin Lemahue, who you can reach at 608-266-2056. That number again is 608-266-2056. We'll put it in our show notes in case you need it for later. You voted early this morning. You went with your wife and your kids. What did you see?
I went with my wife and my daughters, yes. I went at our polling place here on the west side of Milwaukee, and there were lines out the door just to start the morning. Ran into a lot of neighbors. It was a great community experience. I have kind of missed the election day of it all over the last few years, you know, with a lot of absentee and early in-person voting. And I wanted to go with my daughters today on election day in Milwaukee. It was a special experience and one I will not soon forget. And But yeah, it was a busy place. It was definitely a busy place there. That's for sure.
We had Dennis from West Allis who texted in earlier on listening on WAUK. Ward 15 in West Allis has 9 snake lines and 8 lines were at the door. So yeah, we're seeing some big turnout numbers for Election Day too. And we've seen some pretty impressive early voting numbers.
Yeah, and overall, you know, the turnout, we set a record 4 years ago in Wisconsin with, I think it was 3.3 million people voting in the state for the 2020 election. I think early in the year, there were a lot of people wondering if we would reach that again because enthusiasm was not polling to show the same level. But since Kamala Harris got into the race and this 107-day campaign of hers to get to Election Day, the enthusiasm has skyrocketed. And now I do think we could reach that 3.3 million turnout level again and perhaps even surpass it. There's just looking at the early vote numbers, expecting so much activity today here on Election Day. I really do think that, you know, there's been a little bit of focus and attention paid to Wisconsin this year with a few campaign rallies across the state. Hasn't there been?
Just a skosh.
So I think that is going to nobody has forgotten this year, that's for sure. And so there's going to be a whole lot of people energized and a whole lot of people that have been contacted. I'm sure your phones and your text message has just been full from, you know, all people contacting voters in Wisconsin throughout the campaign. A lot of door knocks at your houses as well. So I think enthusiasm, energy, activity is just going to be very high. And I think we should expect at or surpassing record turnout in Wisconsin.
And folks should, this is the world is watching this election. Mm. I was interviewed by ABC Australia yesterday, and yes, in Melbourne, and the world is watching. And I've seen some things on the BBC this morning from the other side of the pond, and they're like, yeah, we're watching this, and boy, we don't get how 50% of the population can possibly support an adjudicated rapist and a convicted felon.
It's not great.
No,
it's not great.
I'm talking to a friend of mine in England who actually works inside with the Labour Party, and he asked me a question. He goes, "What are the restrictions around reporting on the election in the U.S. In the U.K. We can't report on anything that would influence. So no discussion of polling, voting patterns, turnouts." I'm like, "That's hilarious and adorable. If we couldn't do that, CNN, Fox, and MSNBC would have shut down for the day and go get a spa because that is so cute."
Well, and they get there.
We have such a process.
We do. Yeah. I mean, and is there any chance, do you think, Dan, going forward that our election cycles would ever get shortened?
You know, I have thought a lot about that because of the later switch to from Biden to Harris at the top of the ticket for Democrats. I kind of feel like this 107-day campaign that's been run, that's a much better amount of time than this constant 2-year endless, you know, kind of campaign industrial complex that we had in this country for so long. And, you know, there's going to be, I'm going to get so annoyed when I see it, but there's going to be like a look ahead to 2028 article that Politico or somebody posts tomorrow morning or whatever. And it's just like, no, need to do the perpetual campaign cycles. I think going from July to November, that's plenty. You know, Kamala Harris became the candidate in July. We had the convention in August, the debate in September, a month or two of campaigning around the country, you know, hitting every spot in every swing state. And that needs to be it. We don't need really any longer than that. We should shorten this time frame. I don't know how exactly it would happen. I had an event with Charlie Behrens in Milwaukee last week, and somebody brought up capping the amount of time that you could donate to a campaign and saying like you can only put money into these campaigns, you know, from July to November or something like that. So it's not this like constant, you know, kind of like side economy that exists around these constant campaigning, you know?
Yeah. And again, it's not going to happen next year and it's not going to happen in the next couple of years, but it's something we can all pine for, I guess. A 3-month election season would be a break for everybody.
Yeah, and I was at Tim Walz's campaign rally in Milwaukee last night at Wisconsin State Fair Park, and I, you know, there was so many people that were very excited and fired up and all of that. I think there are a lot of people who are exhausted.
I'm sure.
Oh my God, point, yeah.
Who have been, you know, the staff and safety who have been, you know, helping out at all of these, you know, different events at, you know, last night's was at State Fair Park. I think people are just so tired. And this campaign has just been so relentless in and around Wisconsin. And now we have finally made it, you know, to the finish line here on Election Day. And yeah, all of the campaign visits will stop. All of the texts and ads and whatever will stop. And all we've got left to do is cast the ballots and count them up.
For the next week and a half, it's going to be like, hey, take down your yard sign. It's over.
You can put it away now. Yeah. We're done. We're finally done.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is our guest. He, of course, is the author and creator of the Recombobulation Era and Civic Media's political editor. Dan, you had a really great story in the Recombobulation Era recently called Joy and Desperation in the Fox Valley. So, yeah, give us a 3-minute version of this very in-depth story that you did. It's really fantastic. And we'll put a link in the show notes so people can check it out after the show.
Yeah, I'm a proud graduate of UW Oshkosh, and I really think the Fox Valley and Green Bay can often really be overlooked in the larger list around Wisconsin. You know, after 2016, people talked about so many of the Western Wisconsin Obama Trump voters. In 2020, it was kind of the shift in the suburbs that powered Joe Biden's victory over Donald Trump. And I do think one of the places in Wisconsin that can get overlooked in this calculus is the Fox Valley and Green Bay. I think most people, you know, on the surface might think of it as, you know, kind of this Republican leaning type of area. But there it's an area that I think is very much a microcosm of what's going on around the state. And you have a lot of rural areas that are getting redder, but you have a lot of these suburban and urban areas. And I don't think that, you know, cities like Oshkosh or Appleton necessarily fit in that convenient, you know, suburban, urban, rural type of dynamic. But many of these mid-sized cities in that corridor along, you know, Lake Winnebago and I-43 and the Fox River that have been ever so slightly shifting in Democrats' favor. So I spent a few days in the Fox Valley, in Green Bay, talking to a whole lot of people about and asking the question, can Democrats win here in 2024? And can that be decisive for the Democrats statewide? And so I, you know, and not only the top of the ticket, and, you know, Kamala Harris held a rally in Green Bay while I was there. You know, Tammy Baldwin has had some success in the region as well. And it's also the congressional and state and state assembly races. It's really an open, clean slate for a lot of these races. The open congressional seat that Kristen Lierley is facing Tony Weed, state Senate seat in Green Bay is an open seat. All three state assembly seats in Brown County are all open seats. So it's really a tremendous opportunity for voters there to change, you know, choose a new direction forward for their communities and for the state at large.
Did you feel when you were talking to people, Dan, that they're fed up with the inaction of the state legislature?
Absolutely. Good. I heard that everywhere. And I think that, you know, there were so many people talking about wanting bipartisanship and just wanting to get things done. And I think this is a part of the state. People work really hard on the Fox Valley in Green Bay. This is a part of the state where hard work is just a core value. But I think the politicians in that part of the state, people in that part of the state have worked harder than their politicians do. For a long time.
Yeah.
And I think this is an opportunity where you're seeing people, because of the new maps, have to compete for those votes.
We're going to continue
ways they haven't in a long
our
time.
Conversation with Dan Schaefer on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Buck coming to you live from our studio in the Civic Media World headquarters here in Madison, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. And thank you for joining us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here. The Recombobulation Area author, of course, and Civic Media's political editor. I did want to share just one thing, Dan. NBC News is reporting that more than 79.2 million Americans have already voted early, and at least 53% of those voters were women. I think that's significant, and I think my sisters were going to do it.
Yeah, I that's all I'm going to say. Yep, you do it.
I am too afraid of making any predictions.
Oh, of course not.
I hear that. Jinx.
So I you're not going to hear any predictions from me
right.
on the air, on Twitter,
all right.
on the Recombobulation Area,
fair enough.
Anywhere else. But I will say this. The headline that I put for my final in this the part of the Marquette poll breakdown that I did on the presidential race, I said that if Harris is going to win, women will power her victory. And the polling really shows just a really stark gender divide in Wisconsin. And I do think the energy and enthusiasm among women for this election has been overlooked and underestimated to a certain degree. And I think that if, you know, there is going to be a defining factor for this election, I think that will be it. And I think, you know, 8 years ago, Hillary Clinton really leaned into, you know, being the first woman president as a part of that her campaign. And I think Kamala Harris has smartly not really emphasized that as much.
Yes.
But I think there everyone is aware of this, right? Nobody's, you know, having any misgivings about what this really would mean for this country, for women across this country. I think, you know, she's been such a disciplined campaigner and staying on message and saying, like, I'm, you know, not really talking about the history of it, saying she's going to be a president for all Americans, saying, you know, she's going to bring people together. It's not about the history. It's about, you know, so many other things within her campaign message. But I think at the end of the day, if she's going to win, it's going to be women powering her victory. Absolutely.
When you were working on your piece in the Fox Valley, did you see the same kind of gender split? Did you Did you sense that kind of same gender split?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you can even see it just from, you know, the candidates who are running. There are far more women running in a lot of these races than has happened before as well. You know, I think the number of people who decided to, you know, jump into this race, even if it's a long odds, you know, in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, there is a Democrat running in every race in the state legislature. You know, Kristen Lierley is running in the congressional race there. You know, there was not a Democrat running in that race 2 years ago.
Why bother?
And I think it's really important, not only, you know, it's a tough race with the maps that Lierley is facing, but she has taken a really active role in recruiting people throughout her district as well. And I think, you know, people really credited her as being kind of a glue, being a connector for a lot of these different campaigns. You know, some of them are very much long shot races. You know, I tagged along with one candidate, Emily Cephos, who is running in this, you know, a Republican plus 30 district that includes much of rural Outagamie County. But she is just absolutely on a mission and trying to get to every door. I think she posted yesterday that she got to almost 3,500 doors in rural Outagamie County.
Oh my gosh.
And she talked about how some of the people that they talked to, you know, they've never had a Democrat come to their door before. And I think there is so much activity and organizing and cohesion happening among so many of these races. And it is because, and I think not because necessarily, and I think it is significant that so many of these candidates running in these races are women as well, who, you know, and there's actually also a lot of members of the LGBTQ community who are running in these races as well. And when I was talking to Kristen Lierley about this, she said that she and some of the other candidates were jokingly calling themselves the girls, gays, and a few good men who are running in those races in Fox Valley and Green Bay. And so they're having a good time there, too.
Well, in the 2.5 minutes that we have left before we go to the news, Dan, and you had mentioned before we went to the break that people are sick of our do-nothing state legislature. Could this possibly mean that our favorite Chucklemeister and Popcorn King, Robin Voss, might not be speaker anymore?
It's a real possibility. I think Republicans have the advantage. They are going to be the favorites going into this election. I do not want to overlook the possibility that Democrats can flip the assembly. I think there are going to be some really tight races. It might come down to, you know, the race in the 88th in the Green Bay area and DePere, the 85th in the Wausau area, the 61st in southwestern Milwaukee County, where Lou Ann Bird outraised every other state assembly candidate on the map. And so I think there are a number of these races. If they go the Democrats' way, it is not outside the realm of possibility that Robin Voss, the minority leader of January 2025.
Well, and I also like to think it's giving him different opportunities. I think for some of these guys, it's a chance to reinvent yourself and find a new path. I mean, when a door closes, there's a window for you to jump out of. So,
yeah, okay. All right.
I'm just trying to put a positive spin on the whole thing. Change can be hard, but sometimes you need to embrace it.
Well, you know, he can go on some sort of eat, pray, love type of travel. You know, he loves a lot of international travel.
He does. Oh, yes, he does.
He can really embrace that chapter of his life.
He likes Brazil. We know he likes Brazil. Dan Schaefer is going to be hitting the road and heading here to Madison. Our special coverage starting tonight at 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you will join us. Thank you, Dan. We'll see you in a couple.
See you soon.
News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Signs and welcome to Cleveland.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recapitulate me.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Coon Creek Watershed residents will have another opportunity to shape a plan for the Coon Creek Watershed this month. In the last of four public planning meetings, conservation nonprofit Coon Creek Community Watershed Council Incorporated has hosted this fall. The watershed plan, which follows the nine-element framework outlined by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, is meant to identify and address community concerns regarding the care and management of Coon Creek and its tributaries. The plan is a collaboration between Coon Creek Community Watershed Council, partners in La Crosse, Monroe, and Vernon counties, Valley Stewardship Network, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and Coon Creek Watershed residents. The plan is being completed in two parts. The first part, which covers the Timber Cooley subbasin, is on schedule to move into its implementation phase this June. The second part of the plan encompasses the rest of the Coon Creek watershed and will be completed over the next 3 years with support from a Wisconsin DNR surface water grant. The final meeting in this series will summarize the themes that emerge during community conversations. Coon Creek Community Watershed Council hopes the Wednesday meeting will inspire further discussion about priorities for the Coon Creek Watershed Plan and next steps in the planning process. One of these next steps will be using mapping tools like the Agricultural Conservation Planning Framework to identify opportunities for conservation practice implementation in the Coon Creek watershed. Material from past planning sessions is available on Coon Creek Community Watershed Council's planning webpage at CoonCreekWatershed.org. The meeting will be held at Coon Valley Conservation Club with dinner at 6, followed by watershed updates and a recap of the fall watershed planning sessions at 6:30. The meeting is free and all are welcome. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number 3, and Conclave at number 4. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A dreary and soggy day today, with scattered showers and even a thunderstorm possible this afternoon. With the potential to become severe, we could see some gusty winds and a brief spin-up. Otherwise, today, expect patchy fog, highs in the mid-60s, and breezy winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 65.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own, Dobie Maxwell, joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the?
You got Amish. No, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, special election coverage overtime with Maggie Dom plus former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And stick around for special Civic Media election night coverage. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee and Greg Bach coming to you from Civic Media's world headquarters here in Madison, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Coming up, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Today's Thing, Christmas Music Edition. We're going to steer away from politics just a little bit at the very end of the show, give everybody a little bit of a break. But right before we went to the news, is John still on the line, Greg?
Yes, he is.
Hold on. Let's hear from John, please.
Let's do this one. Here, John, thank you so much for holding.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jay. I liked your comment about 53% of the women early voting. And I think it's time for us to take out the trash and turn the page. I believe that's going to happen just based on the 10 Uber rides I've given this morning. 9 have told me they're voting for Harris. So things are looking very positive here in Sun Prairie. I also wanted to comment about what the pundits are saying and how wrong I feel like they're going to get this. So last poll that I had heard coming out of Iowa was that Harris was ahead there, yet I don't see any of those politicos on TV talking about Iowa as being in play. Like to hear your guys' comments. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you so much, John. Thank you for listening and thank you for checking in. It's interesting. You're referring, I think, to the Selzer poll that came out recently, and that put Kamala up by 3 in Iowa, which would be quite something to see Iowa flip. We've talked about this before, though, John. I personally try not to live and die by polls. I think there's always room for error. And because we've seen so many come in just in the last couple of weeks, it makes me question their methodology, and it makes me question who is doing the polling and, again, how they are doing this polling. So I don't know. As far as the pundits go, it is in their best interest to maintain that this is going to be close until the very end because they want people to watch. They want people to tune in and be on the edge of their seats. And so I don't think that they would like this to be close for as long as humanly possible. If you would like to check in just how you're feeling, if you went to vote today, I'd love to know what it was like where you voted, 855-752-4842. We had Bill from Green Bay who texted in listening on WGBW a little bit earlier this morning. Bill says, my friend Mike told me about your station about 4 months ago, and I'll tell you what, this is probably the main thing that got me through, no joke. You guys, Earl, Todd, Maggie, Dom, were the crutch I needed. No conspiracy theories or fear tactics, just facts and analysis. Thank you. Now let's win this. Bill, thank you so very much for that. That's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to get the word out there. We're trying to deliver facts and tell you what's actually going on, and then you make your mind up from there. We have Kathy is on the line. Good morning, Kathy. Thanks so much for joining us. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. So I just wanted to point out some misinformation again. My daughter's 21, registering to vote for the first time, and she called me. She Googled first-time registration, and it said you only had till November 1st to register. And I said, oh, hell no. So then I'm going to get her right now, and we're going to go to the voting booth because everybody's just got to go to myvote.wi.gov.
Yes.
That's the legal one. And don't let them give you disinformation because this is a game they're playing. And I have a question. Is a copy of the latest lease going to be adequate for proof of residency for my daughter?
I have
to look at that.
I am not the person to ask about that, Kathy. I don't want to steer you in the wrong way. You may want to call your municipal clerk and just to double check because I don't want you to get there and not have the right stuff. It should be able to tell you on myvote.wi.gov what you need to take.
I'm car driving right now, so yeah, I just didn't look quick. I just thought the lease would be adequate, but then on the news it just said you should have a document within 90 days.
Well, so when you get to your daughter's, why don't you use your phone and go to myvote.wy.gov and double check so she can bring what she needs.
All right.
Okay.
Yep, sounds good. Just wanted to pass the word.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You as well, Kathy. Thank you so very much. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. What's happening?
Hello.
Hi, Cindy.
Oh, am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I voted this morning. I waited the longest I've ever waited in line. I went in about 8:30. I got about 10 after 9-ish, so it was busy. But I think be careful not to give women too much credit because there are plenty of them that are voting for the rapist.
Well, that's true. He does have plenty of female support. All you have to do is look at his rallies. There's all kinds of women at those rallies. But again, I right now am hopeful, and I am putting my faith in not just silent women voters, but silent male voters. Right, Greg?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've had conversations, and I was telling you this morning, I've gotten a couple of text messages from people just saying, I voted. And they give me like a blue heart or a blue check. And either I know they voted Republican in the past, or I they're just kind of keeping it on the down low. I think we're going to see a major amount of people, Cindy, who just are tired of it and are voting this one time, maybe for a Democrat and, or for Kamala or let's just say it's voting to save democracy. And that's not hyperbole at all. So while I understand what you're saying, Cindy, as far as the 53% of women, I do think we're going to see a shocking amount of women who are voting for bodily autonomy, true freedom, and true democracy in this country.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Well, that's all we can do, Cindy. That's all we can do right now is hope. Thank you so very much. John from Hubertus texting in. I voted an hour earlier than usual in Richfield. My ballot number is normally between 80 and 120. Today, I was number 480.
Dang.
480.
Wow.
Tristan in Kenosha. I voted blue. I'm feeling super anxious because of Trump undoubtedly claiming victory early. And how long the actual votes will take to be fully counted. The one thing about that, Tristan, though, I think the vast there will always be people who are going to claim this election fraud and it was stolen. That's what they need to believe. They will always believe that. I still think that the majority of Americans, after having lived through these last 4 years, I think they're tired of it and they don't buy it. I don't think they're going to buy it. If he comes out and says this was rigged, it was stolen, I don't think that's going to have, it's going to carry the weight that it did 4 years ago.
I think we all also need to take, let's take a moment. I'm not saying people's feelings aren't valid, but we have been through this before, 4 years ago. 4 years ago, he got into a room and said, stop the counting. I have won. We're going to go to the Supreme Court to tell him to stop the counting. And guess what the Supreme Court did? Nothing. They didn't help him.
Right.
And these are Trump-appointed justices, three of them. Not only that, 60 court cases failed. Let him talk. Let his acolytes and his sycophants yell and scream. The process is the process. We're working through it. And I just feel like we need to trust all of the clerks around the country. We need to trust the law because Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia, who probably voted for Trump, is going to work harder to protect the voter process in the state of Georgia than try to get Trump to be elected, because that's what he's done in the past.
Yeah.
He wouldn't capitulate to Trump. He's not going to do it now. So I understand. I'm not telling you not to be worried. I'm nervous and I'm nauseously optimistic and all the things, but we've been through this before. The process worked out. Our democracy was protected, and I'm looking forward to seeing the voices that are being raised today.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate you checking in. Always appreciate you calling. By the way, Kathy, if you are still listening, we had a couple people check in. Matt from Germantown and Gary from Madison both saying that a lease is adequate.
Yeah.
A lease is adequate for your daughter. So if you take that along when she goes to cast her ballot today, that should work.
Good. Excellent.
Yes. Lynn from Oconomowoc texting in, I'm so proud my grandson registered a few weeks ago. This is his first election. Luckily, he's influenced by his mom and not my son. He is voting blue.
Nice.
That's great to hear. And John from Watertown had a question about when voting ends. And I don't know if you can see this handy dandy spiffy chart that we have that has all the
There we go.
That has all the voting end times. So Wisconsin stops at 8.
Yeah.
Montana, Idaho, Nevada, and Utah stop at 9. California, Oregon, and Washington at 10. And Alaska at 11.
And those are our times. So they don't stop at 10 o'clock their time.
Right.
It'll be 10 o'clock our time when the polls close. And going back to what we were just talking about, I've said this before and I'll say it again. His supporters will claim victory when New York polls, when the East Coast polls close.
Yep.
He will claim victory as soon as all the polls are closed. Let them do it. Let the people who are in charge of the elections do their jobs. Trust them. Trust the process.
I wanted to talk, while we have time, Greg, just a little bit. Again, there's a constitutional amendment on the ballot.
Yep.
And we have, you and I have talked about this quite a bit.
Yeah.
I still think that there's a lot of confusion out there among folks on whether or not to vote yes or no on our latest constitutional amendment. I voted early. I voted no.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, this is just an effort to, they want to change one word from every U.S. citizen can vote to only U.S. citizens can vote. That is currently the case. Only U.S. citizens can vote in our elections.
Yes.
I think they want to change the definition so somewhere down the line, when things start not going their way, they can change who is going to be covered by this only U.S. citizens. That's why I voted no.
And this is not, yeah, and you might look at that language and say, well, of course, you know, only U.S. citizens. I mean, we don't want undocumented people trying to vote in our elections. Well, that generally doesn't happen to begin with, so
right.
We're fine there. We already have a law in place that says that only U.S. citizens can vote in our elections. And it's not about what you think it is. It's more about proof of citizenship and the parameters therein to prove that status. And if you can't, if you don't have your birth certificate, if you are a woman who's gotten married and changed your name, that will prove difficult for you. So this is about throwing up
more barriers,
more bumps. And really, it's voter intimidation, voter suppression is what it is. And we don't need that in this state. We already have voter ID, which we don't need in the first place. We don't need another thing getting in the way of casting our ballot.
You can go to the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. They have a very good explainer on this constitutional amendment. Again, I voted no. I would suggest you vote no. I think this is another go-around effort by Robin Voss and the Wisconsin Republicans. Again, as you said, Greg, they're playing shenanigans again.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do this through the normal legislative process. So once again, they have to use it as a constitutional amendment. Let's talk about the League of Women Voters have a music playlist.
Yeah, I was going to say, so in both hours of the show today, you're going to see links to that website that gives you the League of Women Voters and their advice on the constitutional ballot. But they also have a playlist
for Election Day,
for democracy.
I love it.
So I've got that in there as well. You can check out all their songs. It ranges the gamut. There's soul, there's blues, there's rock, there's jazz, there's all sorts of great stuff. It gets you fired up, keeps you going. Listen to that playlist, talk to your friends, make a plan, go out and vote.
Take somebody to vote.
Yep. Make phone calls, make text messages, just talk to people and tell them how important this election is because, and I know we say it every 4 years, it is probably the most important election of our country's life.
Be like Jeff on the live stream. I just got back from my polling place. I brought my legally blind neighbor to vote in and out in about 20 minutes. Yay. Be a Jeff.
Be a Jeff.
Be a Jeff.
Be a voter.
Be a voter. Take somebody for a ride if they need a lift today. The polls are open until 8 o'clock. All right. We will come back and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Christmas Music Edition.
Yeah!
You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners. Making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win. Ho-Chunk
Gaming Madison. There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a spooky edition of your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about a killer. A slow, steady, silent killer of your money. Most horror stories wait till the third act to reveal the monster, but let's just get it over with. Today, I'm talking about procrastination. Yep, thinking you can wait to invest or save money is one of the worst things you can do to it or for it or about it. I mean, look, we all put things off. But every year we wait to get started with investing and saving is a huge cost to our long-term financial plans. Because with a little effort, which I know can be hard, and a little help, you can take control of your money. And even keep away procrastination, the silent money killer. This is Carrie Joy saying, be safe out there and take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
And welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming to you live from Civic Media headquarters here in Madison, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, tonight we have special election coverage starting at 6 p.m. Pete Schwabe. And I normally, Pete, would be doing Nightlight from 6 to 8, but we're going to be doing some transitioning over to the full coverage starting at 8 p.m. with Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. They will have, obviously, all the things as totals start coming in and the polls close here at 8 o'clock at night. So they will be covering results as they become available. We have reporters from all over the state who will be checking in from different headquarters. So I hope you can join us starting tonight at 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 11:52. That means it is time for...
Oh, God. Sorry.
Did you not have it queued up?
I didn't because it's in the... It's my fault. It's absolutely my fault. It's absolutely my fault.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
You're not usually on the board.
No. And I was like all confident. I'm like, this is going
so well.
Yeah.
It's gone so smoothly.
Greg, you're doing a great, great job.
And you are doing a great, great job. Not a problem, Greg Bach.
All right. Hold on. Jane.
Would you like me to give you a time check?
I would love a time check.
It's 11:53, Greg. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
That was perfectly executed.
I did it, everyone.
That was so good. Okay, here's the headline in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Chris Foran. A Madison radio station switched to all Christmas music. Will Milwaukee stations follow? WMHX-FM, normally playing hot adult contemporary music, flipped to all holiday music on November 1st. The station made a similar move last year on November 2nd. As of November 4th, yesterday, no Milwaukee station has yet made the jump to all Christmas music. I say this from experience. This should not be a thing.
Two things.
Yes.
One, you said that was a headline?
It's a headline.
That, this story being a headline shouldn't be a thing.
It's a double. This shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah. It's also, this happens every year with one radio station. They're like, we're going to start playing it in July. I'm here for it, buddies.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You want 2 months of Christmas music?
Well, I'm not listening to it all the time, but if I need my Christmas fix, I know where I can go.
Think about the poor disc jockeys. That's what I'm appealing to you.
Okay.
Think of the poor disc jockeys.
I've thought about them, and frankly, I've moved on. Sometimes I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, what could I do to better my performance here besides getting all the available tracks? It's just thinking about being jolly and sunshiny and Christmassy. Doesn't that feel good, Jane? Doesn't that get you right here where you live?
It gets me right here, all right. I worked for a radio station in Milwaukee. 1 year we flipped to all Christmas music on Halloween.
Yeah.
It was 72 degrees.
Yeah. It'll probably be 72 degrees this Christmas,
and
too.
And we were playing Let It Snow.
Yeah.
I used to love Burl Ives' Holly Jolly Christmas.
Yeah.
Until I had to hear it for 2 months.
What?
Every year.
All right.
For years.
What is the song, the Christmas song, that you could have to play a lot? What's the one you could hear that you'd be like, I'm in. I'm always here for it.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
That's good. That harmony's on that
one.
Song.
That one I still like.
All right, good. It's for me, it's Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, and I know that I am the strict minority when it comes to this song. I know people who hate this song. Aaron Zommers, though, is on board with me, baby.
With Christmas music all the time?
Oh, no, just that song. Okay. But then also Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. It pumps me up. It makes me feel so joyous.
Not for 2 months.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, cool.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Hey, just because this shouldn't be a thing doesn't mean we can't agree to disagree.
Absolutely. Not a problem. That wraps it up for today's edition of... Are you ready?
I am so ready that you ask me.
Here you go.
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing that you feel should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Matt from Germantown just texted one in. We're not going to be able to get to it today, Matt. We will put that on the calendar for an upcoming Tisbet. He has a suggestion for what we can use.
Can't wait. I love it when people get involved.
Absolutely. All right, we have news coming up next. Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4. Dominic Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m., and that's when we will start our special election coverage. Pete Schwabe and I will be anchoring from 6 to 8 tonight, and then Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow taking over at 8 p.m. Go vote. Take a friend to vote. Be optimistic. Stay optimistic. We can do this, and tomorrow the sun will rise, and we'll be here to do it all over again. Thank you so very much for Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for voting. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for Election Day coverage. Wisconsin Decides 2024. We'll have all the news of Election Day as it unfolds from our election headquarters. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do. But any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food. But EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and speak with your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.